We shall now broadcast a lecture on Christian Science from Eighth Church of Christ Scientists, New York City, entitled Christian Science and Everyday Living. Christian Science is truly the comforter promised by Christ Jesus. It brings into our lives the law of good, the law of harmony, the law of divine adjustment that solves the problems of everyday living and meets our immediate needs. The lecture this evening will be given by Charles M. Carr of New York City. Mr. Carr is a member of the Board of Lectorship of the Mother Church, the first Church of Christ Scientist in Boston, Massachusetts. And now it is my very special and happy privilege to present to our radio audience, as well as to those who are here this evening, our speaker, Mr. Carr.
Thank you, Mrs. Regan, for that introduction. There's a way to do it better. Find it. That's what Thomas Edison once said. And through his inventions, he did find many ways of doing things better. Well, we're all interested in a better way of life, aren't we? For ourselves, our neighbor, and world. That's probably why we're here. At least one of the reasons. Now, some of us may have found that better way, the spiritual way, but may feel we're not making the most of it. Others of us may still be seeking a better way. Whichever the case, we may be thinking, well, if I just had more time, I'd do better. Aren't we all tempted to think, if I had more time, I'd accomplish more? Or if I had more time, I'd do more business. Or if I had more time, I'd do a better job of solving my problems, of enjoying life more. But is it really more time we need? Why, we all have the same amount of time. Nobody ever had 25 hours a day. So, isn't it really a question of what we do with our time that counts? Isn't it really more clarity of thought we need? Not more time. Clarity as to the spiritually mental basis of existence or creation. Isn't it more a matter of seeing creation as it really is, spiritual and complete? Isn't it this kind of spiritual reasoning or scientific prayer that's needed, rather than more time? Then the good each one of us seeks, we can begin to experience and enjoy. We can find the better way and use it all the way, all the time. As someone said, more knowing, less going. Well, more spiritual knowing, less material going. Less material thinking really pays dividends. For example, a man I know was sales manager for a large carpet manufacturer. One day he was asked to call on one of its largest distributors because of a very serious problem. This distributor demanded exclusive handling of the manufacturer's line within an area of some 300 miles. He stubbornly insisted that unless he had his own way, he would handle someone else's line. Well, if the manufacturer went along with this demand, a number of smaller firms would suffer considerable loss. My friend got pretty steamed up about this situation, about the selfish, stubborn mule of a man he had to deal with. However, he was used to working out his problem through spiritually scientific prayer. To help him in this, he turned to an article in Miscellaneous Writings by Mary Baker Eddy called Love Your Enemies. In this article, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science says this: Who is thine enemy that thou shouldst love him? Is it a creature or a thing outside thine own creation? Can you see an enemy? Except you first formulate this enemy and then look upon the object of your own conception. Simply count your enemy to be that which defiles, defaces, and dethrones. The Christ image that you should reflect. The light of spiritual understanding came as he studied this. He saw that the matter of good relationships was squarely up to him, that his only enemy was his own false view of man. You know, he'd been seeing man as a rascal, as expressing selfishness, self-pity, self-justification, self-will. He began to replace these false traits of character, rather, his own false estimate of man, with the fact that man reflects God as the Christ image. He acknowledged that this image, or man, includes by reflection all of the qualities of God, good, that these qualities belong to him, to the distributor, to everyone, such qualities as integrity, helpfulness, cooperation, appreciation. He gave up destructive criticism. It's a good habit. I mean to give it up. He insisted that the one God or divine mind governs all creation, and that man expresses perfect unity with God in thought and in action. He also insisted that mortal opinions and human willfulness, why, they're just no part of God's image and likeness anywhere, because God is fully and perfectly expressed everywhere. He spent quite a lot of time praying along these lines the night before he was to meet with the distributor. You notice I said praying, not worrying. There's a difference. In the morning, when he met with the distributor, he found his answer in the form of a question. He asked him, Did you ever hear of anything that was 100% selfish, being 100% satisfactory? Well, from that time on, nothing more was ever said about an exclusive line. He and the distributor worked out a very satisfying agreement. And incidentally, they came to be good friends. This man went on to apply his knowledge of Christian Science to larger aspects of his experience. Later, the government sent him to Europe to set up the industry division of the Marshall Plan. After this, he was appointed to a very high position in the federal government and handled some $9 billion a year, along with all the problems that included. In everything he did in business, politics, government, and world affairs, he tried to see God, or infinite good, as the creator of all creation, as the governing force. He saw himself in his correct relationship to God as a divine idea, expressing the infinite mind that is good. Saw this more and more consistently. But that wasn't all. He knew he had to see his fellow man that way, too. This is most important, because sometimes we're tempted to think, well, I see myself as God's image and likeness, all right. But the reason I'm in this jam is because of that rascal I have to deal with. Now, who made a rascal? Certainly not God. And since God is the only creator, there's no other creator to make a rascal. Then a rascal never was made. A rascal's just a rascal point of view. A material point of view of spiritual man, the only kind of man. So, if any of us ever happens to have a rascal in his experience, do we need to be troubled because we have to deal with a rascal? No, because we're not dealing with an entity called a rascal, just our own rascal point of view of God's image and likeness. We get rid of that false point of view in our own thought. This is what my friend did. Why, he replaced the material sense of man with the spiritual sense. Then healing took place. And this process didn't take time. Just the inspiration and consecration that comes from spiritually scientific prayer. You see, he really had accepted the challenge. There's a way to do it better. He found it, lives it, enjoys it. More spiritual knowing, less material going, less material struggling. The better way then, the spiritual way. Why, that's the only way. The better way of doing things, the spiritual way, is the only way. As we saw with my friend the sales manager. Wrong thinking, based on material testimony. Why, it has to be replaced with godlike understanding based on spiritual fact. This is the primary objective of Christian Science. To spiritualize thought in every aspect of our everyday living. This is accomplished. First of all, as we gain a spiritual understanding of God and man and the universe. And second, as we learn to pray spiritually. Scientifically, that is to think out from the point of view of creation as spiritual and complete, never material, never incomplete. Now, it doesn't necessarily take time to gain this understanding and basic approach of prayer or Christian Science treatment. What it does take is an open-minded awareness of what life is, and the courage and an active willingness to live in accord with God, good. The Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, written by Mrs. Eddy, teaches that God is infinite. Therefore, He's all. Because He's all, He's one. This one God is the cause of all existence, the only creative force. And God is spirit, not material, without limitations of any kind. Why, God is completely good. He's divine mind, universal love. This one God naturally can have just one effect. And this effect, man and the universe, must be just exactly like God. Therefore, man and the universe must be as good and perfect as the cause that created them, as spiritual and intelligent, as radiant with divine love, as unrestricted. In fact, all the good that constitutes God must be reflected by all creation. And that includes man, you, me, everyone. Now, matter and all of its troubles and limitations, matter is just no part of God's creation anywhere. Why, matter is not the effect. No phase of mortality is the effect of infinite spirit, the God who is all in all. So matter is simply not the reality of being anywhere. It appears to be real only as much as we believe in its existence as something, something in addition to God or apart from Him. But if God is the infinite cause, and He is, how can there be any existence or effect besides His creation? Well, there just can't be, can there? And these facts have been proved over and over again. And this is why Christian Science is science. This is why Christian Science treatment or spiritual reasoning heals. Now, just what can this spiritual reasoning mean to you and me? Why, as we understand God and man and the universe in His likeness, we can begin immediately to use that divine knowledge to direct our living wisely, successfully. However, with spiritual reasoning, as with any kind of reasoning, if we want to get correct conclusions, we have to start with a correct premise. And as far as Christian Science treatment is concerned, there's just one right premise, that the one God, including man and the universe, is just all there is to reality. When we know this truth clearly, why, it frees us from the bad results of our own limited standard. It's a double standard wrongly conceived. A belief in God and mammon, spirit and matter, good and evil. An impossible standard. Nothing to live by. Why, the only standard is the absolute spiritual thinking we've been talking about, the Christ truth, the divine message from God, which Jesus brought. Jesus taught this Christ and practiced it scientifically. That's how He helped humanity win freedom from sin and sickness, lack and limitation. And He left no doubt that we could demonstrate the truth of being too when He said, "He that believeth on Me, the works that I do, shall he do also." This Christ truth comes to redeem humanity from its false points of view, material restrictive. Why, it purifies human consciousness until it's aware only of truth and of love, of the spiritual perfection of God and His creation. Now, the closer we draw to this Christ truth, this absolute science in our prayers, Why, the more effective our prayers are in their application to the human sense of things. We've all studied mathematics. Well, it's just the same as in mathematics. The closer we draw to its principle, the more exact we'll be in its application to our mathematical problems. Obviously, we can't deviate from the principle of mathematics by following human opinions and then expect to get correct results. And we can't deviate from scientific prayer, from the recognition of the infinite spiritual perfection of God and His creation, and then find the answer to our prayer. Because, why, no material considerations enter into true prayer. And our prayer, to be most effective, needs to embrace not only the science of God's allness, but the spirit of divine love that comforts us, encourages us, assures us of God's ever presence and goodness. But someone might ask, how does prayer that's spiritually mental change a physical condition or a human problem? Well, it changes the belief in the reality of material difficulties to the understanding that creation is already spiritual and complete. So it's all right. The effect of this knowing or prayer is improvement in thought. And this is followed by improved conditions always. This was the experience of a family I know. They turned to the better way, the spiritual way, at a time of crisis concerning their 11-year-old boy. He was stricken with convulsions. The doctor diagnosed the trouble as epilepsy, and a specialist confirmed this. Some medicine was prescribed, but the father was frankly told there wasn't any cure. Well, at this point, he remembered some Christian Science healings, and he and his wife went to see a Christian Science practitioner. Although the practitioner told them the boy could be healed, they were quite reluctant to give up the medicine. However, when the boy himself asked for Christian Science help, they took their stand. They threw out all the medicine in the house and turned unreservedly to God. They realized that man is the beloved of God, made precisely like Him, that this relationship is constant, not subject to trouble of any kind. They began to understand that God is infinite spirit and entirely perfect, that man is wholly spiritual, so he's wholly perfect too. They began to understand that the law of God, or spirit, is the only authority governing man, and that perfection, spiritual perfection, is the only condition of man. They stopped fearing the so-called laws of matter that claimed this epileptic condition was incurable. Stopped honoring them. They reasoned that matter and its phases of sin and sickness, why, they're just false beliefs in material laws. They realized that they'd get rid of these phases of discord as they gave up their false beliefs, that is, their misconceptions of creation, for the fact or truth that all creation is spiritual, therefore perfect. This knowing of the truth by them and the practitioner healed the boy of epilepsy. You see, they were devoting their efforts to more spiritual knowing, less material going, less material struggling. Now, the demand for a better way of doing things isn't peculiar to the age we live in. Why, people have always been looking for better ways, quicker, more efficient ways. But the demand is particularly challenging today because of the far-reaching advances in almost every phase of modern activity, especially the sciences. However, the many wonderful inventions and remarkable scientific advances haven't given mankind happiness, have they? Peace, a genuine understanding of one another, or even unfailing health, much less the answer to life's purpose or to life's real meaning. Why? Because all material thought and action, the human sense of existence, is just an assumption of reality within a material frame of reference. Now, knowing this truth doesn't do away with man or the universe or any good. What it does do is to get rid of the false belief that existence is material. As a result, you and I begin to experience more good and less sin, sickness, trouble. You know, we just can't get rid of any trouble until we get rid of what causes it. The mistaken point of view that material existence is the real thing. Don't be fooled. It isn't. Of course, some of the conditions of this human experience are nearer right than others, and they have their temporary place in the relative human sense of things. But none of them are absolutely permanent or true. They appear to be true only within the framework of their human matter-based assumptions. Assumptions based upon a material concept of substance and law and life. Now, natural science works within the framework of these material assumptions and calls them fact or reality. And much credit should be given the natural scientists. They've made substantial progress within this framework. However, if we accept material premises as the very essence of real life, why, we're apt to be led astray by physical analyses and test tube conclusions. Actually, in place of these matter-based assumptions is the principle of life as spiritual and complete. This divine principle includes the truth of all existence. That's just another way of saying the absolute spiritual nature of Creator and creation, God and man, your true self and mine. This truth is what Christian Science defines as reality. It's a total frame of reference. It includes all reality. Mrs. Eddy sensed this and as a result discovered Christian Science. She too also was one who was interested in a better way of living. An exceptional student, she also had an unusual appreciation of spiritual values and a most inquiring mind that was spiritually based. This is pointed up in her book, Retrospection and Introspection. And she says this about her discovery. During 20 years prior to my discovery, I had been trying to trace all physical effects to a mental cause. And in the latter part of 1866, I gained the scientific certainty that all causation was mind, and every effect a mental phenomenon. My immediate recovery from the effects of an injury caused by an accident, an injury that neither medicine nor surgery could reach, was the falling apple that led me to the discovery how to be well myself and how to make others so. Then Mrs. Eddy put her discovery of this science to the test. The practical test by healing, teaching others to heal. She wrote Science and Health to make Christian Science, or the science of Christianity, available to all mankind. A continual reaching out for divine guidance enabled her to establish the Church of Christ Scientist, in spite of the opposition of material-mindedness which the Christ truth aroused. Because of her all-encompassing love for humanity, her humility deepened, her courage strengthened. Today, Christian Science branch churches encircle the world, fulfilling their purpose to reinstate primitive Christianity and its lost element of healing. Why, this was the basis of Mrs. Eddy's efforts to bring sinning and suffering humanity the revelation of truth, the full revelation that would bless all through spiritual healing. The Christian Science Church is dedicated to glorifying God through this spiritually mental activity. Its public reading rooms, literature, lectures, all of its activities are designed to meet the needs of mankind. Everyone who wants to has the opportunity of learning of the Christ truth and sharing in its healing activity. Christian Science is the Comforter, the Holy Ghost Jesus promised would come and lead us into all truth. Why, this science challenged and is challenging every barrier to man's spiritual progress or salvation, not just the barriers of sin, sickness, and death, but the whole world's belief in the actuality of matter with all of its problems. In this connection, it's interesting to consider the confusion of matter-based thinking that Max Planck refers to in his book, The New Science. As you may know, Dr. Planck is the German physicist who discovered the quantum theory. And this theory, together with the theory of relativity, marks the beginning of the tremendous developments in modern physics. These form the basis of the nuclear discoveries. I'd like to quote him briefly. In the midst of this confusion, now, this is Dr. Planck himself referring to the ever-changing material theories. In the midst of this confusion, it is natural to ask whether there's any rock of truth left on which we can take our stand and feel sure that it is unassailable. Then he goes on to say, science in general presents us with the spectacle of a marvelous theoretical structure, which is one of the proudest achievements of constructive reasoning. But this logical quality will not avail us now against a skeptic's attack. Logic in its purest form, which is mathematics, only coordinates and articulates one truth with another. It gives harmony to the superstructure of science, but it cannot provide the foundation or the building stones. And then Dr. Planck asks this question. Where shall we look for a firm foundation upon which our outlook on nature and the world in general can be scientifically based? Christian Science gives us the answer. First of all, it's encouraging us to know that there's a way to do it better. That is, there's a better way to solve our problems. Better than the usual approach. The material approach that's based on the reality. The assumed reality of matter or materiality. And second, it's enabling us to find out for ourselves that as we spiritualize thought and rely radically on the science of Christianity, putting it to the practical test, why, it's not just the better way, it's the only way. Christian Science says to anybody that's searching for the foundation or building stones in matter or materialistic knowledge, they're not to be found there. Where they are found is in God's allness. And that includes spiritual man and the spiritual universe as the sum total of all reality. This science of God's allness reveals absolute truth, total truth to human consciousness. How? Why, by showing that this truth exists in place of the human sense of things, not in addition to it, not apart from it, not alongside of it. You see, there's no dualism to existence, no two-ness. I'll say that again. There's no dualism to existence, there's no two-ness. There's nothing but perfect God and His perfect, infinite idea, man. All right, you say? What about all the trouble? If this is true, that God is all and He's good and His creation is good, what about all the trouble that seems to be so much a part of existence? The sin, sickness, evil, materiality. Why, they're just beliefs too. Beliefs of the human mind or the material senses. That is, the five physical senses. But we can't believe what these senses tell us, can we? In the middle of the day, you don't see the stars in the sky, but they're there. If you put a straight stick in a calm pool of water, it looks crooked, looks bent. But it's still straight. Why, we just can't draw correct conclusions regarding reality from the evidence of the physical senses. This was forcibly brought out in the experience of a couple while building their home. As the building progressed, they realized how hard it was going to be to complete their home, furnish it, landscape. There was such an enormous amount of work that had to be done on the grounds. Labor was short, contractor too busy, materials hard to find, and the expense. It just seemed prohibitive. All the couple saw was discouragement and confusion. A depressing situation. They were overlooking the law of God, or good. This law operates as the law of spiritual perfection, intelligence, completeness. It opens up opportunities for fulfillment in human experience. The wife spoke to a Christian Science practitioner about the problem. Immediately the practitioner said, "Why, see it according to the law of God, or good, as spiritual and complete The wife thought, see, it is spiritual and complete. Yes. Why, I've been working from the wrong basis. But I can change my attitude about the whole thing and change it now. She began to realize more clearly than ever before that her job was always to seek God's creation as spiritual and complete, right where difficulties and lack seem to be. To see God's spiritual ideas, right where material persons and things and circumstances seem to be. She acknowledged the truth of Mrs. Eddy's statement in Science and Health. There is no such thing as mortality, nor are there properly any mortal beings, because being is immortal, like deity. Being and deity are inseparable. And so, in place of mortals coming or going, cooperative or uncooperative, she saw man as compound idea expressing divine mind, intelligence, perfect action. She insisted that God's creation, the only creation there is, of course, that God's creation is made up of spiritual ideas, not material objects. And so, in place of material objects, available or unavailable, she saw spiritual ideas of God, already beautiful and complete, ideas of order, harmony, originality. Well, the effect of this knowing, this scientific prayer, was most gratifying. There was steady progress. The contractor was more than helpful. The workmen were honest and loyal. The materials were available. The means to finance the whole project. Building, furnishing, landscaping came through unexpected channels. What's more, the see it as spiritual and complete point of view, why, they've applied it over the years in every facet of living. It's turned out to be not only the better way, but the only right way of thought and action. It's brought with it a more instant sense of appreciation, happiness, a wider sphere of activity for good. You see, they were devoting their efforts to more spiritual knowing, less material going, less material struggling. Now, I doubt that there's anyone here who isn't concerned today about world problems. The question is, are we willing to work to solve them? It's work to spiritualize thought, isn't it? But that's what's needed more than anything else. Why, the application of basic spiritual reasoning isn't any different for world problems than it is for individual problems. That's why, if we really want a better world, we can have it. It just takes a more persistent use of the science of being and a wider application of it. If we use Christian Science just to cure physical or financial problems, it's not enough. Why, we're not making full use of our spiritual powerhouse. You know, it'd be like going out and buying a high-powered modern car and then poking along in the thing as if we're driving a Model T Ford. Why, we've been given the ability to reach out to heal every kind of problem, not just personal problems, community problems too, and every problem facing universal humanity. Does that sound like a big order? Too much to attempt? Not at all. Why? Because no problem is outside of our own experience, that is, outside of consciousness. Every problem is just the objectification of our own thought processes. That's why you and I can deal with them. We'll have a better world only as your thinking and my thinking is more spiritual and less material, more God-centered and less self-centered. That means we have to see man as the idea of God, subject only to the influence of good, not as a mortal, subject to the influence of evil. Can we really say that we see man that way? If not, why not? We can begin right now. We can apply this truth in all of our social contacts with others, in our home, school, business, church, community, our world, in short, with everyone. Until you and I come to grips with this problem of how we see ourselves and our fellow man, why, we'll never make much of an inroad on the larger problems like crime, delinquency, national and international misunderstandings and prejudices, wars and the threat of them, economic maladjustments. We have to recognize with great positiveness in every day that man is a son of God and therefore can't become prey to the propaganda that he is a servant of the state. We have to know that man is free, free to love good and express it, and that he isn't a slave to the militant materialism of these times. As we know the allness of God, good, as we know man in the likeness of this infinite goodness, why, we'll be able to understand the unreality of evil as creator or creation. Then we'll refuse to admit evil and its lying impositions into our thinking or experience. Evil has no right of invasion. Don't give it any. Now, we've considered a number of healing experiences that illustrate the principle of life here and everywhere as spiritual and complete because God made it that way. I'd like to tell one more. A young Christian scientist fractured a spinal disc while in training in the army. He was taken immediately to the army hospital where he was told that an operation was absolutely necessary if he was ever able to walk normally again. Even then, the doctors didn't guarantee that he'd be able to move about the way he had before. He asked them to delay the operation until he could get in touch with a Christian Science practitioner. The practitioner prayed for him something like this: I thank you, God, for being all in all. Your allness includes your creation, spiritual man. Right here is spiritual man, because you are right here. And where you are is your beloved image and likeness. This son of your creation is the object of your love. You've made him perfect, and you maintain that perfection. Man is immortal, is in and of God or infinite spirit. He's not a mortal. He doesn't dwell in a material body or a material world. He's not subject to material laws or conditions. I thank God that this is true. Man is immortal, infinite, spiritual, perfect, made in the image and likeness of God. I thank God that man is subject only to God. He is not subject to matter or any phase of saint. I know that man, here and everywhere, now and always, is the beloved of God. Practitioner persisted in praying along these lines, and in a short time the young man was completely healed. His army record shows this. Another proof of the healing was that he could play handball just as vigorously as before. But a more important result was the spiritual impetus the healing brought. As his spiritual understanding of God and man deepened, why, his application of Christian Science widened. The result? He found useful, rewarding business activity, wonderful companionship, a fine home and family, and the opportunity to grow with his branch church. Friends, we've seen that the primary objective of Christian Science is to spiritualize thought in every aspect of our everyday living. In the process, we progressively overcome the false belief that there can be any real barriers to health, happiness, success. Why, these barriers are never physical. They're mental. One of America's great test pilots made a most challenging comment when he said, "Barriers exist only in the minds of men." Now, Christian Science is showing us how to get rid of all these barriers, barriers of matter-mindedness, medical theories and practices, materialistic philosophy, limiting creeds, barriers of all kinds. We've seen that when a barrier or problem confronts us, there are two ways of looking at it. One, the material, the other, the spiritual. One way deals with it as a material fact, and then tries to improve the so-called fact through material reasoning and material action. The struggling way, no way at all. The other way, the only way, deals with it as entirely mental, as a false belief about true creation, and then exchanges that false belief for the true understanding that creation is already spiritual and complete. Never material, never incomplete. And the change in thought, this is the good part. It doesn't have to take time. It can be quick, instantaneous even. What's needed, what we all need, is more thought. Not more time. More thought devoted to spiritual reality. And less time to material unreality. More knowing, less going. Mrs. Eddy puts it this way in Science and Health. The devotion of thought to an honest achievement makes the achievement possible. Now, notice, she doesn't say the devotion of time, does she? But the devotion of thought. Well, as you and I devote our thought to the things of God instead of the things of matter, we reach our goal a lot faster. The goal of experiencing more and more good. Then we'll prove that there's a way to do it better. The better way, then, the real way, is as near to each one of us as our own thinking. It's as near as our willingness to claim present spiritual perfection as the fact or truth concerning man and the universe. We can wake up to this principle of life. We can hold to this viewpoint, to see it as spiritual and complete viewpoint about all creation, all the time. The better way, the spiritual way, is instantly available. It's up to you and me. Good evening, my friends.
You have just listened to a Christian Science lecture from Eighth Church of Christ Scientists, New York City. If you have enjoyed or received any benefits from the broadcast of this lecture, or wish information regarding Christian Science, you may address your letter to station WJRZ. Another lecture on Christian Science will be broadcast over this station on Friday evening, October 12th, at 8:30.
This is WJRZ Jersey, 970 AM, 94.7 FM in Newark, with studios in Newark and Paramus.